thegoodsuccess.com.
Father, we thank you for the privilege to learn again today. And Lord, we ask that you bless everyone. Let everyone have a good marriage by reason of this podcast today. In Jesus' name, amen. The topic remains how to really know if the person you are talking to, the person you are relating to, is the right person. Last week, we learned some details about what it takes to find your true love, how to have good success in love and marriage. And we started two topics that tells us about how to find and keep love. Last week, we understood that this is a spiritual quest, that if you really want to have that good marriage that God has ordained for you, then you need to understand the spiritual aspect of it. You need to settle something spiritually. Then also, we spoke extensively on the fact that there's a market. There's a place for you to get married. There's a place where you'll be found easily as a woman. And there's a place for you to find the person you want to get married to as a man. There's a place for you to really do that search. Let's keep that at the back of our mind. And we mentioned the place of weddings. That if you want to get married and you want to be found quickly and you want to find quickly, attend weddings. It's a good place where a lot of eligible singles meet together. And I gave the example of my own marriage too. Then we understood that God can give you speed. That man that we looked at his story in Genesis, you know, it tells us about him that he asked for speed and God gave him speed. So yes, those are the things we learned last week. So today, like I promised last week, we are going to see some details about how to really know if the person you are talking to, the person you are relating to, is the right person. How do you know if the person is the right person? So we are still going to read Proverbs 18:22. The Bible says, "You find a wife, finds a good thing, and obtains favor from the Lord." So as I was saying, that we can have speed. We can indeed have speed. So that's what we should be praying for. God, grant me speed. I don't know what your age is. Maybe you're already of age. You think, oh, my age has gone up and all that. God can still grant you speed. And if you are young, maybe you think you are still in your 20s. You think you still have a lot of time. God can give you speed too. You can avoid delays in your life. So what are the pointers to the right choice? How do I know I'm making the right choice? What do I look out for? What are the things that can show me this is the right person? Number one, like we mentioned sometimes ago, you need to make sure that you are qualified yourself. Are you qualified for the kind of person you want to attract in your life? You want to attract a rich person. Are you rich? You want to attract a kind person. Are you kind? You want to attract a nice person. Are you nice to people? So you want to work on yourself first, because the only control you have is on yourself. You can't control someone else. You can't control that brother you like, and can't control that sister you like. You can only control how you react to things, to people. So you want to be the right person. You want to be the one with good character. One thing I've learned is this, and I always discuss this with my wife, that I've realized that eventually people marry people who are like them. Yes, we talk about opposites attract and all that, but eventually people marry people with values like them. If you are somebody who loves God, who loves going to church, who loves serving God, who loves doing the right thing, you will end up marrying the person who loves serving God and doing the right thing. If you follow all the strict details of the things you have been learning now, that is exactly what will happen to you. Let me give my own example. You know, I married when I was far more than 30 years old. And I married as a virgin. I mean, as a man. You know, before I got married, I actually didn't put it in my mind I was going to marry a virgin, because I felt, you know, it may not really be. What God calls a virgin is, you know, somebody who is now faithfully serving God. Maybe you were, before you became born again, you've lived your life somehow, you've lost your virginity, in quotes. But the moment you become born again and you are keeping yourself, God sees you as a new virgin to Him. Physically, you may not be a virgin again, but spiritually, God counts you as a virgin, and you can get all the benefits that virgins should get in God's presence. Like me, I didn't sleep with any woman. I was a virgin by God's grace. So I already kept it that, okay, maybe I won't marry a virgin. But I told God, God, I really desire that I indeed marry a virgin like myself. And guess what happened? I married a virgin. Myself and my wife were both virgins when we got married. So this proves to us that if you have kept yourself, God can also make it, I didn't say it will always happen, God can make it so that the person you're going to marry will be somebody that has been preserved by God. Even if the person now ends up not to be a virgin physically, but at least spiritually, the person will be a virgin. The person will have kept himself too, at least since the time they became born again. God will always reward you for the things you have done for him. God will reward you one way or the other. So, we have talked about the question of, are you qualified to marry the kind of person you think you should marry? You want to marry a kind person. Now begin to act kind to people. Be kind to people. Be nice to people. Be respectful to people. You want to marry somebody who respects you. Now begin to respect people around you. You want to marry somebody who is good. Then be good to people around you. So that's number one today. Point us to the right choice. Number two, opposites attract, but likes marry. I will say that again. Opposites attract, but likes marry. Now, there are some things that will point to you that this is the right person. Most often, you marry somebody who is opposite in natural inclinations. What do I mean by that? There is something called temperament. We know about people who are extroverts. Somebody who that, you know, is the life of the party. When there's a party, man, when he gets there, this guy is the one that will make everybody laugh. Everybody can know him and recognize him within 2 minutes of him getting to a party. Then there's another person. If you want to look for him, don't ever check the front of the party. Go to the back, because that's where he will be. He will just hide himself, sit down quietly. He's a quiet person. Most times, quiet persons always marry people who are not quiet, so to say. People who are extroverts end up marrying people who are introverts. That is the opposite attract. It's always good that if you are a very quiet person, you marry a quiet person, your house, God forbid though, it will look like a cemetery, because everybody will just be quiet, waiting for the first person to talk. I think I met someone like that before. Two of you sit down together and you are waiting for the first person to talk. I mean, more of the introvert myself. My wife is the one who can become friends with everybody. In fact, she is even happy when she becomes friends. She says, man, I met a new friend today. Me, I can be alone. I'm just okay. But when she's around me, then we complement each other. So that is one good thing for you to know. In knowing the right choice, it's good for you to marry someone who is opposite in temperament. It's good. It's good. It may not be the rule. It's good. I recommend for everyone, there's a book called Spirit Control Temperament by Tim LaHaye. I will try to write it out later. Spirit Control Temperament by Tim LaHaye. That's the person who wrote the book. So I want you to read that book. Read that book. You will learn so many. It's helped me a lot. You know, I used to be this, like I told you, I'm more of the introvert. But right now, you may not really call me the 100% introvert, because I worked on myself. Before, I used to wonder why somebody would just be talking and talking and talking. While me, I can keep quiet for the whole day without saying anything. But when I read that book, I was able to understand that we are all made differently. God made us differently. And that is the spice of life. If you are in a room where everybody is quiet, I mean, it will look like a cemetery. Everybody is just quiet. Nobody is talking to nobody. But imagine if somebody is quiet, somebody is listening, somebody is talking. It's good. That makes you complement each other. The person who is quiet is found to be, more often than not, is the one who can quickly pinpoint things. He can see secrets. He can see things that people are doing. He can immediately add 2 + 2 together to find out that, this person is wrong. He can discern things quickly. But the person who is talking may not really be able to do that quickly. So when the Spirit of God controls your temperament, now the quiet person can now talk more, while the person who is talking naturally cannot learn how to keep quiet. So opposites attract. Look out for those things. If you are with somebody, you want to marry somebody, and the person is completely like you, then you may be setting yourself up for problems. I mean, in temperament. Two of you should not be the same totally. If two of you are talking, who will listen to each other? And if two of you are quiet, who is going to talk? So you need to look at that. Please go and read that book, Spirit Control Temperament. It's going to help you a lot. You're going to be able to understand people. Let me tell you who I used to be. And it's very funny. You know, now these things are natural. Then also how you grew up can also still affect your temperament. For example, my dad was the one who wants things in order. If he keeps a book somewhere and it comes back and that book shifts, he will know. The same thing with me. In fact, it was so serious that I used to get angry, you know, when I did my first degree then. When I did it, I was super angry that I would put something somewhere. My roommates then would come and scatter everywhere. I would be angry with everybody. You know, like, what's wrong with you people? Can't you just keep things and arrange them neatly? I'm the one that when I arrange things, you can almost bring ruler to measure those things. They will be accurate. That's how I used to be. I've changed. A lot of things have changed about me. I can throw clothes here and there now, you know. But I learned when I was reading that book, I was just laughing and laughing and laughing because I realized that this book was talking about me, was talking about my own nature. I was the quiet person. In fact, when I was in primary school, I got a report card where my headmaster wrote something. He said, he's very quiet. He doesn't know how to fight. I was super quiet. But it was not helping my life. But when I read that book, I understood that you can be better. God wants you to be a whole person, a spirit-filled, complete person. You can't say Jesus is an extrovert or an introvert or a choleric or phlegmatic. Jesus was a perfect person. God wants you to be that. But you know, God also created you so that some things can be more pronounced in your life than the others. We can say about Moses, maybe he's melancholic. He's the one we can say melancholic is a quiet person. That's why he was getting angry and all that. So one of the things that can happen to a quiet person is you may tend to store your anger more than the person who talks, who can actually say these things out and is free in his mind. So you learn how to control your temperament and you look out for the opposite. Not that you now actively look out for the other person, but most times you'll be attracted to the other person, the one who has the opposite temperament to you. So we have talked about the opposite attract. Now, I said likes marry. The like there now is that you may be opposite in temperament, but your values must be the same. This one is even more important. Your values must be the same with the person you want to marry. If you value righteousness, you value doing things the right way, you are the person who doesn't want to break the law. The person you want to marry cannot be the one who wants to break the law. You know, there are some people, their joy is in breaking the law. Their joy is in sinning against God. Their joy is in doing something wrong. Their joy is in doing something that God doesn't approve of. So your values are completely opposite. You can't marry that person. Your temperaments may be opposite, but your values must be the same. You have a value of growing. You want to grow. You want to grow your business. You want to increase. I've seen somebody before who says, see, in my life, I don't want to have money. I only want to just be okay, you know? No, I don't want to have big cars. Just be okay. I just want to be okay. Now, the value of that person is different. From people like us who want to prosper, who want to build big businesses, who want to be great. If I have to buy private jets in the future, if I need it, I will buy. That's me. I have great visions. I want to do great things. So, my values are different from the person who just want to be a normal person, just to have food. Some people, their own is, I just want to have food to eat. If I can eat food, send my children to school, I'm okay. Your values are different. In that home, there will be a problem because you don't have the same values. How do you find out these things? Communication. You have to be able to communicate these things before you get married. Find out the values of that person. What moves them should be what moves you. If what moves them is not what moves you, then you may want to rethink it and repray. If their values are completely opposite from yours, man, you have to rethink it. Make sure you have the same values with that person. Somebody values righteousness. Make sure you look for somebody who values righteousness. Now, when I wanted to get married, somebody was telling me about my wife. He said, oh, you know, he's a pastor like you. I'm not a pastor, I'm just a brother, of course. But, you know, the person was talking about that person, that he's the one who goes to church, the same way you go to church every now and then, do things in church, teach in church. He said, she's also someone like that. So that means we have the same values. If you get married and I say, oh, we have a 7-day program and we're going to church every day of the week and we are fasting, that means she's going to say, oh, yes, it's okay. But if somebody else says, no, I want to go to church once a year, and you go out to marry that person, and you are the person who goes to church every day, before the end of that year, you will end up not going to church again, because your values have to align. If you are going to stay in that marriage, your values will have to align. So make sure that your values are the same. Proverbs 27:19 says, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. Having said that, I will also move to the third one. These things look like opposites. It says we are different from each other. So we also mentioned something like that in temperament. But we need to understand this one that is a peculiar one. We are different from each other. God made men and women different from each other. Your values may be the same. Your temperaments may be opposite. But this one is a different aspect. We are different. For example, you know that what a man needs is respect. And we say that a woman needs love. That's why the Bible says the wife should submit to her husband, while the husband loves his wife. But do you know that when a woman says, I love you, she's saying a completely different thing from when a man says, I love you. Love, in quotes, that's, I'm talking about emotional love, romantic love, is different in the mind of a woman than it is in the mind of a man. They interpret it so differently. We also must understand that difference. This is one of the things that breaks many marriages. They don't understand that we are different from each other. Every now and then, you will see what your wife is doing that is wrong. And you see what your husband is doing, you know, something wrong or is doing. But you don't know that we are different from each other. Do we have to maintain our raw form and all the wrong things in our lives? Of course not. But we are talking about a woman, for example. Let's look at this. A woman will most likely want to watch a romantic movie where, you know, they're just talking about the family. Everything is the cool, quiet love. They're talking about how the man took care of the man. They went on vacation. A woman can watch it over and over again. All those soap operas on Telemundo and all that. But you see a man, he wants to watch football, action. He wants to watch James Bond. He wants to watch action where they're shooting. What are they even doing in all those things? A woman doesn't understand. I mean, of course, there are exemptions. But I'm telling you that most women will prefer to watch the romantic, slow love movies, while a man wants to watch the action. There are exemptions, but most times, this is what happens. Because we interpret things differently. Now, if a man now begins to make jest of her wife and says, what nonsense are you watching? Let's come and watch action. Then the man doesn't have the understanding that we are different from each other. And if a woman says, violence all the time, what is the problem, self? Only game with your friend, only football match. Then she lacks understanding that we are different from each other. That difference is what makes marriage unique. God makes these things complement each other so that we can actually thrive. So we need to understand this. Understand that we are different from each other and maximize that difference. For example, do you know that women are very good at discerning trouble before it comes? For example, a man could just say, there's a woman maybe around a man. And the man just thinks, the woman is a nice person. He's even talking to his wife. That sister, something is, nice. In fact, she even cooked for me in the office today. And the woman is saying, problem is coming. The man may not see anything wrong, just says, this is a nice person. The man may not know this problem until he is now involved and begins to have feelings for this woman. But the woman can see it before. Even a woman can see that another woman is looking at her without looking at the woman. It's very funny. A woman can say, sister so-so-so was looking at me in church today. And you're like, how did you know? He said, I was not looking, but I know she was looking at me. And the man, ask a man what somebody wore. It's like, I don't know what concerned me. I just went to church. I worship. A woman, even while closing her eyes, she can almost know what the other women in the church were wearing, because we are wired differently. T.D. Jakes was saying something. He said, my wife can tell me how we got all the gifts we got from different people and tell me almost the exact time he came, what we were doing that day. He only remembers that I got this gift from somebody. May not even remember the person. The woman said, no. You remember that day it was your birthday. It was snowing that morning. That man drove in the snow and brought this gift. He even wrapped it in a red package. And you're like, how did you remember all those things? Because she's a woman. A woman can remember what all the clothes that her mates were wearing. What concerns a man? Nice shoe. Tomorrow, what color of shoe did that man wear? He can't remember. because we were wired differently. So we need to understand that this difference is what makes marriage unique. But guess what happens? Even the things you love in your wife or you love in your husband before you married, when you get to marriage, there's a temptation that you begin to get angry with those things because they are now, the difference is now obvious to you. All those your feelings of love have now disappeared. Real love is now needed. So now, we said we are going to touch about the cause of marriage. Now, in marriage, when you're in marriage proper, the truth is this. All the giz-giz feelings before marriage may disappear. You will now have to actively and intentionally stir up all these things. But there is one thing that must not disappear. Real love. Which you can find in 1 Corinthians 13. God tells us that love is not proud. Love does not think about hurting other people. It begins to tell you, and if you look at all these things, you will see that it is work. Work, work, work. So if you want your marriage to work and function properly, you must understand, like we said before, that there are different kinds of love. So when the Bible talks about love in 1 Corinthians 13, it's talking about the love that can transcend all types of relationships. So even in marriage, that kind of love will work. In your place of work, it will work. In your relationship with people you are not married to, in your neighbors, that kind of love will work. So please, let's know that if you have not passed what we call the brotherly love, the love for everybody, you care for people, you saw somebody who had an accident, you are prompted to say, let me just get and help this person. It's not a kind of feeling. You don't have romantic love for that person. You just believe that this is a human being. You should not go through this problem. Let me help him out. You need to be able to have this kind of love, because this will be needed even in your marriage. When there is no feeling, for example, let's say there's a misunderstanding between you and your wife. That means romantic love for that day is gone. You don't have any feeling, nothing. Your wife did something wrong or your husband did something wrong. But let's say that same person, that your husband or your wife, let's say mistakenly stepped on a live wire, electricity, and is shaking under it. Will you say because you are angry now, there is no romantic love, you won't help her or help him? You will, because the normal love is what will come to place now. You will now know that, no, I need to help her. You don't have any feelings, nothing, but you immediately rescue her or rescue him. That is that love that you must have, and you must begin to show to everyone, your neighbors, to everybody. If you are lacking in this love, your marriage will likely have issues, because that is what will be needed every day. Your wife or your husband will eventually become a neighbor. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. So even if you don't have romantic love, if there's no feeling, at least that person has reduced to your neighbor, in quotes. You still have to love this person in the kind of love that God has ordered. Then there's agape love, love for God. If you don't love God, you can't love your spouse, because they will do things that will annoy you. They will do things that will make you feel like, let me just slap the person. But because you have the love of God, you have the fear of God. The love of God is also called the fear of God. You have the fear of God. Now you can't hurt this person anymore. So that's where we are really going to stop today. But before we stop, I'm going to mention this. The love that we are talking about today is not the Hollywood, Nollywood, Bollywood. Wait, why did they even call them wood, 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 wood? Maybe that's why the love of these people also fade out like wood. You know, when you put wood in fire, do you know how it burns? It just burns and it goes down. That is why people get married and that wood burns and goes off, because the love of God is not there. So when you are able to perfect your marriage with the love of God, God kind of love, you see that even romantic love will be there. You do things that please the other person. The Bible says, deal with your wife with understanding. Understanding is how we build a home. The Bible says that through wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is filled with all manner of good things. Paraphrase now. So if you want to have a good marriage, you need wisdom. You need to learn. You need to learn what love is even about and how to activate it. Then also, you need to have understanding. Understanding of what? Of your partner. Understand that person. Without the understanding of your partner, you will begin to misunderstand what they are doing. Praise the Lord. So this is where we are going to stop today. So as we close today, let's understand that this kind of love that we work in marriage and all manner of relationships is hard work. The same principles that you apply to your business, to your career, is hard work. hard work. You want to maintain a job, you still have to do hard work. You know, we return back to the same job every day, and you are doing the same thing for most jobs. You are doing most times the same kind of things, and you are not tired, and you have been going there maybe for the last 10 years. So the same thing in marriage, you need to understand that this is hard work. You may be doing the same thing every day, but to realize that you have to do it, seeing it as work. The only thing is that make sure your partner enjoys doing that thing every day. I can't talk about your partner, but I can talk about you. Do that work of love. Whatever love means to them. There's love language. We'll talk about it too soon. What love means to one person is not what love means to another person. For example, some people give them gifts from today to tomorrow. It doesn't mean anything to them. They'll just say thank you, but it doesn't stir them up. What stirs some people up is when you help them. Some people, when you just affirm that, wow, thank you so much, you look beautiful. That is what some people want to hear. And that's what love means. That's their love language. So these are the things we can also learn over and over again. Please. Now, very soon, we're going to be treating what we call like 12 secrets that guarantee success in marriage. 12 secrets. You're going to be talking about difference, foundation, nurture, character, submission. This thing called submission, what is it? Who is to submit to another person? Who is this submission for? What does it even mean in the first place? Then we look at love consequence, we look at choice, uniqueness, respect, selflessness, communication, and all that. You know, communication could mean the demise or the birth of love in your marriage or in your relationships. You know, when the line of communication is broken or faulty, even good deeds are doubted or misinterpreted, you know. So these are the things we are going to look at. I believe we'll do that next week. So please don't miss it. And if you have not invited someone before, please invite other people. As we keep coming and inviting others, we also be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Father, we thank you for the word we've heard today. Glory be to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that as we've learned love, as we learned things that will make our marriage and relationships work, we pray, oh God, that you empower us to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I pray that as we return next week, we all have great testimonies, great reasons to rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay blessed and see you next week in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
The good success that comes.